Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Midday Maidan. Hi, Ashwin. How are you doing? This is Sachin Kalbag here, Editor-in-Chief of Midday. I don't know what I'm doing here, but I know exactly what Ashwin is doing here. He's been following every single match of the FIFA World Cup. He's not sleeping for the last 2 weeks. He comes like a zombie into the office. He somehow does his work and goes back to the main course, which is the FIFA World Cup. That's Ashwin, tell us the truth. Are you ditching Midday or are you not?
Spot on, Sachin. Yeah, it's been really, really hectic. The timings are so unsuitable for us. But yeah, it's fun. It's been great fun watching the matches. 3 a.m., 6 a.m., 12:30 a.m., 9:30 p.m., 10:30 p.m., you name it. Watched all of it.
But, you know, like we discussed in the previous episode, I mean, seriously, politics aside, this is turning out to be a great World Cup. The minnows, so to speak, are showing up as if nobody told them that they are minnows. I mean, Cabo Verde, there is Curaçao. Morocco is suddenly showing its, you know, skill beyond what it was supposed to be capable of. Cote d'Ivoire, Ivory Coast, that is, phenomenal showing against Germany. So clearly, the top 10 countries in the world are showing what they are capable of. But so are the people who are not even in the top 20 in the world.
True, you know, and as you said, the rankings are so important here because we look at the stars from these rankings, Messi's, Ronaldo's and the Salah's, but the first couple of weeks have thrown up new heroes to worship, like your Cape Verde goalkeeper, Vozini. I think he's not a hero, he's a superhero, something we played up in Midday a week back with the red Superman cape. I hope the readers loved it.
I'm sure they loved it. I mean, we spoke so much about that imaging in the paper. We wanted him to look like Superman, but we were worried that, you know, DC Comics may not like that. And, you know, we were very careful about not infringing on their copyright. But anyway, but to come back to, you know, what is happening on the field, the kind of, you know, set pieces that you see in many club matches, you see something like this happening out here as well. But suddenly out of nowhere, you know, these attacks take place and then you have a goal out of nowhere. The two goals that Germany hit, for instance, against Cote d'Ivoire were two examples of that. I mean, until the middle of the second half, we thought that Ivory Coast will coast through against Germany and cause one of the biggest upsets. But that was not to happen because Germany did come back and created those opportunities where none existed. But all of these places, all of these matches are showing that the minnows are no longer the minnows on the world stage.
Yes, you know, these big teams, they're always unpredictable. And towards the end, when they come back with goals, and I think it'll happen more often. There's a reason for that. The reason is these hydration breaks. Earlier, a 90-minute game would last, obviously 90 minutes, but there wouldn't be any breaks. So the players would get tired towards the 45th minute or the 90th minute. Now they are fresh. So even if you're a goal down, you can come back. You've got a nice water break in between both the halves. We saw it with the Germany game and also the Egypt game when they were a goal down against New Zealand and they came back and they won 3-1.
The hydration break is a bit of a controversy now. Some of the players are saying that it breaks their momentum. What are your thoughts on it? I mean, we know that like in cricket, these hydration breaks are just, you know, misnomers in that sense. They want more ads for the broadcasting networks. In fact, there was a delay when the one of the referees in one of the matches told the match referee that please don't start the match because the advertising break is still not over. Fans are not going to like this. The players are not going to like it. But I'm sure the administrators and the broadcasters are loving it.
Yeah, you know, and the hydration breaks, they're funny. Funny because the reason for the break is to quench your thirst in hot conditions. But there are so many matches held in stadiums that have roofs and they are temperature controlled. So there's no heat, but they're still having a hydration break. So it's funny. Some coaches have also spoken about it. But the truth is, if the rule applies to all, I think it's fair. And if it, as you said, fastens the game towards the second half or the second part of the half, I think it's even more interesting. I like it.
Purists have not kind of liked it. But, I mean, if it's a rule, it's a rule for everyone, right? I mean, we're not going to contest that. And the fact is that everybody knew that this rule existed even before the FIFA World Cup. They all agreed to it. And you can't be complaining now that, you know, suddenly the hydration break is causing breaks in momentum, etc. But to come back to the next week, I mean, we are recording this on Monday. And by the end of this week, we will be sure who's going to be in the playoffs. there are certain teams that have already gone into the playoffs, clearly. But the whole world is rooting for Cabo Verde to reach the playoffs. They've drawn the first two games. They played really well to score two goals. And the first game, of course, against Spain was legendary because they had a 0-0 draw. The second match, and again, a 2-2 all draw. Where do you see them going? The confidence is going up. Do you think that Vizinha's performance in the first match is impacting them so much positively that they're going to make an even bigger impact in the second half of the tournament?
Yeah, two games, 2 points in a World Cup finals is a great feat. I think they've shown that the first draw against Spain was no fluke. They've fought really hard. And the good thing in this format is there are 8 third-ranked teams who will also qualify besides the top 2 ranked teams in the 12 groups. So I'm certain that Cabo Verde will go through. Even if they don't get another point, maybe they'll be among the top 8 ranked, top 8 third-ranked teams. Sorry.
So I remember, of course, you know, we are of an older vintage, you and I, Ashwin. So Italia 90, where Cameroon did the unthinkable and reached the quarterfinals with Roger Milla doing that jig near the flag every time he scored a goal. And later on, 4 years later, he went on to score a goal at the age of 42 at USA 94. So, I mean, these are memories that we carry for a lifetime. Roger Milla was 38 and then 42 in the second World Cup. Vizinha is 40 already and he's a superstar. From 40,000 Instagram followers before the Spain match to now 15 to 20 million followers in after just 2 matches of the World Cup, he's gone from nothing to become a superhero. Not only in his own country, but for the rest of the world. I mean, it's kind of a beacon that, you know, no matter how old you are, if you're committed to your goal, if you're committed to your profession, nothing's going to stop you.
You know, modern football is so competitive and so athletic. You've got the Messis in the late 30s, Ronaldo in his early 40s. I mean, these guys defy time and age. You look at cricketers retiring in their late 30s nowadays. Football is much, much more tiring. So I think hats off to these supermen who give us 90 minutes of football, wonderful football, day in and day out. I think this World Cup has been exciting. Great start for the big teams. I'm looking at some good games coming up in the quarterfinals, I'm sure. But before that, we have to have the qualification of the top 12 and 8. Yeah, we're going to have a round of 32 teams. So, yeah. So it's going to be difficult to gauge who will qualify. But I'm rooting for minnows or so-called minnows like Cabo Verde.
The other thing is that I'm sorry to ask you an academic question, Ashwin, but the truth is that the fitness levels now are far superior to what... But that's also because you have better technology, you have better, you know, recovery routines, you have better trained professionals who are taking care of you. When you're playing at the highest levels, you need all that kind of support and infrastructure to prepare you for a World Cup. And all of these teams seem to have invested at the grassroots level for them to reach a stage where they're competing against the best, and they're not competing they're competing not only with the best, but they're coming off as good as them at this level of the game. It's just phenomenal the way if you think about it, 4 years ago or even, you know, 2 weeks ago, nobody knew what Cabo Verde was. And now they're like superheroes.
You know, the good thing about these teams is these players play professional leagues outside their country. And these leagues are of the top order, be it Spain, be it France, England, of course. So they get their professional standards from there. But to bring it to your team and to apply it there, it's difficult. So as I said, yeah, it's hats off to these guys to be able to do it. And coming back to the fitness part, it's so technologically advanced now. You actually have backroom staff monitoring players, heart rates and pressure throughout a match. I mean, these stats go down into the player's record. So they know everything that's happening on a screen in front of them as the player is struggling on the field or battling on the field. So that's really amazing there.
It's like a Formula One championship all over again, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, Ashwin, thank you very much for being here. I hope that the next time we meet, our favorite team, Cabo Verde, is going to be in the quarterfinals or at least in the playoffs at some stage. So here's saying goodbye to our listeners on Midday Maidan. See you in the next episode. Bye-bye.